Blog Talk Radio.
Well, I guess there's no opening theme tonight. Hey, everybody, James Bostic here. Conservative perspective on the Patriot Nation Radio Network here at Blog Talk Radio, blogtalkradio.com. We have a live version of the show. We do it Tuesdays and Thursdays, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We also have a recorded version of the program that goes out on Sundays, 4 p.m. Eastern Time at Mojo 50 Radio, mojo50.com. The world's finest conservative and libertarian talk. They got all kinds of apps. They got the iHeartRadio app, Pandora, Spotify, YouTube. I mean, they're all over the place. But you can go directly to the website, mojo50.com, and you can listen to your programs as they appear, your favorite programs as they appear in the rotation, or you can check them out in their archived format as well. My man, I'm going to tell you what. Things have been busy this entire month of July. I've been a lot of things shaking loose. Of course, last week, all the brouhaha was about Robert Mueller's testimony, and wow, how much of an anticlimactic buzzkill for the Democrats could that be? I mean, it was just terrible. And there's still, even in light of that terrible performance by Robert Mueller, who made it clear to all and sundry, that's not his report. That's the Weissman report. He was just a figurehead. He was just a rubber stamp. You and I, through the sources that I've come in contact with and share with you guys, you and I know more about what's in the Mueller report than Bob damn Mueller. This is terrible. I mean, just awful. And we're going to go back. We're not going to go back and look too much at Bob Mueller. We are going to go back and look at some of the questions that were asked Bob Mueller by John Ratcliffe, because this weekend, John Ratcliffe made the news. During the Bush administration, I think it was during the Bush administration, during the second Gulf War, they created the Office of the Director of National Intelligence, ODNI. And it was supposed to be a clearinghouse, an oversight for the CIA, for the FBI, for naval intelligence, for the Defense Intelligence Agency, for all of the various intelligence agencies that comprise the intelligence community here in the United States. Excuse me, just a moment. So, Dan Coats, an establishment guy, stepped down. He resigned the office of the Director of National Intelligence, I guess Thursday or Friday, and the president has picked Republican Congressman from Texas, John Ratcliffe, to step in there. And just to refresh your memory, what kind of guy John Ratcliffe is, we've got his, let me find it here, a couple different things. We have an interview with him, with Maria Bartiromo, but we'll get to that in a minute. It's kind of a two-part thing. This was John Ratcliffe as he was asking questions of Robert Mueller during the House, I think this is during the House Judiciary hearings last Wednesday, and that was the morning session that Bob Mueller attended. This is the kind of guy that Donald Trump has nominated for Office of Director of National Intelligence.
Good morning, Director. If you'll let me quickly summarize your opening statement this morning. You said in Volume 1 on the issue of conspiracy, the special counsel determined that the investigation did not establish that members of the Trump campaign conspired or coordinated with the Russian government in its election interference activities. And then in Volume 2, for reasons that you explained, the special counsel did not make a determination on whether there was an obstruction of justice crime committed by the president. Is that fair?
Yeah. Yes, sir.
All right. Now, in explaining that special counsel did not make what you called a traditional prosecution or declination decision, the report on the bottom of page 2 of Volume 2 reads as follows. The evidence we obtained about the president's actions and intent presents difficult issues that prevent us from conclusively determining that no criminal conduct occurred. Accordingly, while this report does not conclude that the president committed a crime, it also does not exonerate him. Now, I read that correctly?
Yes.
All right. Now, your report, and today you said that at all times the special counsel team operated under, was guided by, and followed Justice Department policies and principles. So which DOJ policy or principle sets forth a legal standard that an investigated person is not exonerated if their innocence from criminal conduct is not conclusively determined?
Can you repeat the last part of that question?
Yeah. Which DOJ policy or principle set forth a legal standard that an investigated person is not exonerated if their innocence from criminal conduct is not conclusively determined? Where does that language come from, Director? Where is the DOJ policy that says that? Let me make it easier.
Go ahead.
Can you give me an example other than Donald Trump where the Justice Department determined that an investigated person was not exonerated because their innocence was not conclusively determined?
I cannot, but this is a unique situation.
Okay, well, you can't. Time is short. I've got 5 minutes. Let's just leave it at you can't find it because I'll tell you why. It doesn't exist. The special counsel's job, nowhere does it say that you were to conclusively determine Donald Trump's innocence or that the special counsel report should determine whether or not to exonerate him. It's not in any of the documents. It's not in your appointment order. It's not in the special counsel regulations. It's not in the OLC opinions. It's not in the justice manual, and it's not in the principles of federal prosecution. Nowhere do those words appear together because respectfully, Director, it was not the special counsel's job to conclusively determine Donald Trump's innocence or to exonerate him, because the bedrock principle of our justice system is a presumption of innocence. It exists for everyone. Everyone is entitled to it, including sitting presidents. And because there is a presumption of innocence, prosecutors never, ever need to conclusively determine it. Now, Director, the special counsel applied this inverted burden of proof that I can't find and you said doesn't exist anywhere in the department policies, and you used it to write a report. And the very first line of your report, the very first line of your report says, and you, as you read this morning, it authorizes the special counsel to provide the attorney general with a confidential report explaining the prosecution or declination decisions reached by the special counsel. That's the very first word of your report, right?
That's correct.
Here's the problem, Director. The special counsel didn't do that. On Volume 1, you did. On Volume 2, with respect to potential obstruction of justice, the special counsel made neither a prosecution decision or a declination decision. You made no decision. You told us this morning and in your report that you made no determination. So respectfully, Director, you didn't follow the special counsel regulations. It clearly says, write a confidential report about decisions reached. Nowhere in here does it say, write a report about decisions that weren't reached. You wrote 180 pages about decisions that weren't reached, about potential.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and here's the thing, and this is what impressed me about the Republicans, and I believe me, I come to bury Mueller, not to praise him. We're not going to be getting into this any deeper than what we have right here and what it portends for other people within Hydra, which, you know, that's what I call the deep state. Over the weekend, Dan Coats, or probably Thursday or Friday, he's out at the Office of Director of National Intelligence. President Trump nominates John Ratcliffe, Texas. John Ratcliffe is on, he's on with Maria Bartiromo, Fox News. He's on Fox News. It's a two-part interview. I had to break it up into two parts to get it in. And here's the first part. Maria Bartiromo, Fox Business News.
My next guest was one of the Republicans who questioned Robert Mueller last week. There he was on whether the Russia investigation was fueled by an anti-Trump bias, period. Let's bring in a Republican congressman from Texas, John Ratcliffe. He's a member of the House Judiciary, Intelligence, and Homeland Security Committees. He's also a former federal prosecutor. Congressman, it's good to have you this morning. Thanks so much for joining me.
Good morning, Maria.
You zeroed in on exonerate because the special counsel said we could not exonerate the president. Why was that line of questioning important?
Well, Maria, the Democrats built their entire strategy around the special counsel's statement that Donald Trump could not be exonerated from potential obstruction of justice crimes. But what the Democrats and the special counsel didn't see was the fatal defect in that legal reasoning, that by requiring Donald Trump to conclusively prove his innocence, they were depriving him of the one thing no one can be deprived of, which is a presumption of innocence. And getting the special counsel to admit that they applied a one-of-a-kind, made-for-Donald-Trump-only standard to these facts really rocked the foundation of their entire obstruction of justice analysis. At the end of the day, you can't impeach somebody over obstruction of justice where you use the wrong legal standard, a legal standard that doesn't exist.
So do you think
it seemed like that was...
Do you think you've popped the impeachment bubble?
I think everybody saw, and a lot of Democrats have conceded that it's time to move on, that there's a hole in the impeachment balloon that's large enough for Jerry Nadler and Adam Schiff to walk through together. But Schiff and Nadler don't seem to see that. You know, the same folks that promised that there was going
Jerry
to be impeachment by collusion, you know, that died when the Mueller report came out and said there was no collusion or conspiracy. Then they shifted to it was going to be impeachment by obstruction of justice, that Robert Mueller was going to breathe life into the report. Instead, he sucked the life out of it by, again, applying a legal standard that didn't exist.
Somebody
so
needs to
now they're moving on
the
saying
Mueller.
They want to pursue obstruction by the court system and trying to get grand jury information. Look, it's becoming a joke. I think people see that, and Nadler and Schiff are starting to look more like Laurel and Hardy. It's time to move on.
Well, what is your reaction overall? I mean, Congressman, if there's one question that I've been asking this entire two-year period, it's this. How is it possible that the Mueller report, the Mueller investigation is going to have any credibility at all if Robert Mueller does not look at the origins of the investigation, if he does not look at specifically why? Why am
Somebody
I looking at Trump being involved in Russia meddling? We know Russia has meddled for decades. Why is Trump part of this? So I ask you, your reaction
right.
to the fact that Mueller said he doesn't have, he's not familiar with Fusion GPS. It's not in his purview. How can that fly?
Of course it can't. Trey Gowdy said it best this week. The person who learned the most about the Mueller report during Wednesday's hearings was Robert Mueller, and that's sad but true. And really what it meant is that the Mueller report and its conclusions weren't from Robert Mueller. They were written by what a lot of people believe was Hillary Clinton's de facto legal team, people that had supported her,
Andy Weissman
represented some of her aides. And so the Mueller report, it's really going to be difficult for the Democrats or anyone to rely upon the findings of a report when they just listen to the man whose name was on top of it not have a command of what was even in it.
So that you did have others writing the report and now we see that, do you think people understand that? Andrew Weissman was what, a Hillary Clinton donor? He was at her election party, right?
It's not
that
just
night.
Andrew Weissman.
Yeah.
Aaron Zebley represented Hillary Clinton's aide that set up the unsecure server and smashed her BlackBerries with a hammer. There were all sorts of folks, again, that were close to the Clinton Foundation, and you know, so the bias that was involved there, I think, are fair things to talk about, and I think that's why that, in light of the disastrous testimony from Robert Mueller, you know, the Democrats paid a heavy price for bringing a reluctant witness to testify. They overplayed their hand, and they did it in front of the American people on a national television audience, and it was just a train wreck of a week for the Democrats, and it was a great week for Donald Trump because of that. But to your point, Maria, now the things that, Bob Mueller said he didn't know about and his team clearly didn't look at, those are things that would be fair for Bill Barr and the Department of Justice to look at, because we know that things happened in the Obama administration that haven't been answered. There's been no accountability for that yet.
That's what I want to talk about. Let's take a short break, and I want to ask you where the crime and the wrongdoing really was, because we know that Barr is looking at it and John Durham is looking at it, and the IG, along with Senator Lindsey Graham. We'll be right back with more Congressman John Ratcliffe in a moment.
Okay. This, you know, we know the anatomy. I mean, we've seen, and, you know, I've shared a lot about the anatomy of, you know, the genesis of this dossier, this Christopher Steele dossier that is the cornerstone, the linchpin, the foundation, the keystone of this entire coup attempt. Because it's through the dossier that the intelligence community, the FBI, James Comey, Andy McCabe, they go to the FISA court judge and they say, we need to conduct some surveillance on this cat in the Trump campaign because we think he's a red. We think he's a commie. Oh, yeah, says the FISA judge. What makes you say this? Well, Your Honor, we got this dossier. Uh-huh. And we think we need to check. So they sell it to the judge who, and ultimately somebody needs to look at this judge. I mean, if these guys are going to get in trouble for fooling this judge, because these are very serious matters and the FISA court is supposed to be a very, very serious thing, then somebody ought to look at this judge for being fooled by these guys. Now, to be fair, he probably doesn't think that the intelligence community is going to come to him with a request based on trumped up findings. But I don't know exactly how much of an excuse that is. So they get this. So now they have this surveillance operation. They're spying on an American citizen, Carter Page, and all the people he talks to as a result of his involvement with the Trump campaign. This is getting reported back to President Barack Obama through intelligence briefings by that other commie SOB, John Brennan. I forgot about you, Johnny. Net's tightening, pal. The net is tightening. So somewhere along the line, somebody high up, really, really high up, gave the green light for this. There's only one cat that could have done that. Let's take a listen to the second part of this interview with John Ratcliffe and Maria Bartiromo.
Welcome back. I'm back now with Republican Congressman from Texas, John Ratcliffe, sits on the House Intel Committee, as well as Judiciary and Homeland Security. And Congressman, let me ask you about where the wrongdoing was specifically. You have John Durham looking at this, origins of the Russia investigation. You have William Barr. You have Senator Lindsey Graham, and you have the IG report. Tell us what they're going to find. Where was the wrongdoing?
Well, I think the first thing we need to do is make sure we don't do what the Democrats have done. They accuse Donald Trump of a crime, and then they try and reverse engineer a process to justify that accusation. So I'm not going to accuse any specific person of any specific crime. I just want there to be a fair process to get there. What I do know as a former federal prosecutor is it does appear that there were crimes committed during the Obama administration. You talked earlier about Michael Flynn. His phone call with the Russian ambassador was a highly classified NSA intercept. Someone in the Obama administration leaked that call to the Washington Post. That's a felony. Glenn Simpson from Fusion GPS, in talking about the Steele dossier, said under oath that he and Bruce Orr did not meet until after the election. Bruce Orr said under oath that they met 3 months before the election. One of them is not telling the truth.
It ain't Bruce
we
Orr.
Need a process to identify that. Where it all started, Jim Comey, he admitted that he leaked his confidential conversations with the president to a reporter. Did that include classified information? We need a fair process to find out answers to that. I trust, because Bill Barr has earned my trust already and the trust of the American people, that there'll be a fair process with John Durham and with Michael Horowitz to get answers to that and provide accountability where it really belongs.
And obviously, if you've got a team of Clinton donors, like an Andrew Weissman and the others that you mentioned, they are not going to have much enthusiasm to go investigate why Hillary Clinton and her campaign paid for a dossier of lies about Donald Trump.
Well, the special counsel told us words from his own mouth that they didn't do it. And if they didn't do it, the only place we can get the answers is from the Justice Department right now.
Right.
American people want that. Their faith and trust, Maria, has been shaken in our Justice Department. And the only way to get that back is therefore to be real accountability with a very fair process. I have supreme confidence in Bill Barr's ability to deliver that. And at the end of the day, wherever the outcome may be, as long as we know that the process was fair, the evaluation was fair, justice will be done. Look, the truth always defends itself.
All right, we're gonna go. I want to talk about your.
Okay, like I said, I think, you know what? I believe we're gonna be going into extra innings tonight. We're down close to the bottom of the hour now, and I'm just getting wound up. The pump is just now being primed, you might say. We're going to continue this. Now, at this time, he hasn't, spilled the beans about being nominated for the Office of Director of National Intelligence. And here is how it relates to James Comey. Oh, and by the way, have you noticed a lot of guys have been pretty quiet lately, like James Comey, like John Brennan, John, you Comey SOB, like James Clapper. Andy McCabe was screaming the other night about after the Mueller hearing, and Nadler came out and just straight up lied about the findings of Mueller. And again, just doubled down one more time on this whole impeachment thing. But Matt Whitaker, who was the acting attorney general in between Jeff Sessions and William Barr. I'm sorry. Couldn't remember his name. Yeah, in between William Barr and Jeff Sessions, was a fellow by the name of Matt Whitaker. He was a He was the interim director. He was the interim director until they found the permanent director in William Barr, was what I was trying to say. He's talking about, and this is again from Fox News, about the appointment or the nomination, rather, of John Ratcliffe to this particular position. And the Hydra people are really upset. They don't like the idea of John Ratcliffe being put in this position. And here's something that Whitaker says about it. Now, it doesn't relate so much. I mean, there's a couple of things going on here. His comments, and I'll clue you in. There's a certain part that we're going to be looking at. But his comments, basically overall, have to do with the president's nominating John Ratcliffe to the position of ODNI. And 15 months ago, a lot of people forgot about it, when he was still Attorney General, Jeff Sessions announced that the U.S. Attorney for Utah, John Huber, would be conducting a review of the FBI's use of wiretapping on the Trump campaign. And, you know, everybody got all worked up about that. 15 months have come and gone. Haven't heard anything. But yesterday, in this interview on Fox News, where former Acting Attorney General Matt Whitaker is talking about this appointment, John Ratcliffe, he had this to say about the ongoing investigation. Let me see here.
John Ratcliffe is a man you know well.
Yeah, John and I were U.S. attorneys in the Bush administration, and he went on to success electorally, and I went back to the Department of Justice, ultimately becoming the acting attorney general for 4 months.
How do you think he'll do in this new role?
You know, I think he's perfectly qualified to do this role. I think he's a smart, talented individual. He's, you know, sort of cut his teeth at the Department of Justice, so he understands sort of all the pieces and parts of not only the department, but the government now at ODNI. I think he's just perfect for that. He's straight out of central casting for that role.
I know that you and for many of your colleagues, one of the biggest goals here is restoring confidence in the Department of Justice. And you think Bill Barr is the guy to do that?
Yeah, I always thought since Bill Barr was identified as going to be the person that took over from after I took over for Sessions and then he took over for me, as I really think Bill is the perfect person to sort of turn over every rock and restore the confidence of the American people and the Congress and the courts in the Department of Justice. Now, there's a lot of great people at the Department of Justice, don't get me wrong. I think one of the challenges is we had several acts that appeared to be politically motivated. And I think Attorney General Barr is going to figure this out, and he's going to look at the genesis of this investigation. He's got John Durham looking at that, who's a U.S. attorney out of Connecticut. Mm-hmm. He's going to prosecute anybody that needs to be prosecuted. You know, we still have Huber out there looking at some of these things regarding Comey's memos and the like. And so I just think there's a lot of things that Bill Barr is going to be bringing to a conclusion here. And since the Mueller investigation is over now,
yep,
and now we can focus on some of these questions that I think the American people have a right to know as to how these investigations started and whether any of them were politically motivated.
So to be clear,
okay, the interview goes on, but we're not going to go with it. That's far enough. And here's what he said. We're finally done with Mueller, so we can't really have the cries of obstruction of justice when these documents become declassified. Now, James Comey wrote a series of memos about his conversations with President Trump. You guys probably remember some of that. And he leaked some of them to his law professor pal, who also moonlights as a reporter for the New York Times, something like that. He was a professor, and then I think he in turn leaked them. He was the go-between. James Comey couldn't directly leak them to the Times, so he turned him over to his pal Daniel Richmond. Richmond turns him over to the Times. And what this was part of was part of the plan to force the appointment of a special counsel in this case, who? Robert Mueller. So what we got to have now, and I hate to do it, well, we're at the bottom of the hour. We can catch up with it. We will be back with more of ACP. We're going to go long tonight. I just got that feeling once we get into this thing. And I want to talk about the president once again making Democrats defend the indefensible. 2 weeks ago, it was the squad. This week, it's Elijah Cummings' district in Baltimore. It's just terrible stuff, and we're going to look at some of that. But what we're going to do is we're going to tap this whole Mueller thing, because what we just heard when he said prosecute whoever needs to be prosecuted in terms of any potential wrongdoing by the FBI, what they're talking about is Bob Mueller. We'll be back after this. Mm-hmm.
Now here's a story about Minnie the Moocher. She was a red-hot hoochie-coocher. She was the roughest, toughest rail. But Minnie had a heart as big as a hay whale. Howdy, howdy, ho.
Howdy, howdy, ho.
Howdy, howdy.
You know what? I guess we're ready to get back to it. I was scrolling through looking for something else to listen to. I don't think we're going to do that. back to what we were talking about. Hey, everybody, ACP here, Patriot Nation Radio Network on blogtalkradio.com. We do it live Tuesdays, Thursdays, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Now, back to these Comey memos and why that insignificant little thing that Attorney Whitaker said makes it such a big deal. And what he said was, when he was outlining what John Huber was looking at in terms of the FBI surveillance, he said, and they're also reviewing, and here's the quote, anything related to Comey's memos. Now, Comey wrote these memos of conversations that he had with the president as a CYA thing, and then turned around and leaked them to a go-between who in turn leaked them to the New York Times. And it was the leaking of these memos that was forcing the appointment of a special counsel. And as I said, in this case, Robert Mueller. Well, CNN wants a copy of those memos. They want to see what's going on. But the Department of Justice, as well as the FBI, have both been fighting the release of these memos. Well, there's a judge involved in this, and he wants to see them too. And it goes back to this courtroom fight where these memos come up under the Freedom of Information Act, and they're called, now the whole thing is called the Comey memos. And the FBI says, you know, we can't release them because they're just so sensitive, and they, you know, they trot out the same old lines that they always do. We can't do it. We've got information in there that's sensitive, and if it was made public, basically the American people would find out how guilty these SOBs are, and Washington, D.C. would be overrun by torches and pitchforks. And he's probably right. So the judge in this trial says, okay, well, you're not going to tell me about them, but you're going to have to give me some meat here, man. I need to know something. So a man by the name of David Archie. Now, David Archie is the guy, and not many people know this, who replaced Peter Strzok. When Strzok got fired from Mueller's team, this was the guy who replaced it. Well, this FBI agent, David Archie, wrote a series of declarations to the court, meaning the judge, describing the content of the memos and arguing why they had to be kept classified. So they go back and forth on this, and last month, the judge agreed to the FBI's request. We're going to keep the memo content hidden, but you people in the Department of Justice and the FBI have to release the content of these declarations that were written by David Archie. He was from the Riverdale office. So the FBI is going nuts now. They don't even want descriptions of the memo released, let alone the memos. That's how freaked out they are about it. Now, based on what we just heard in the interview there with Matt Whitaker, where he says, you know, John Huber's going to be looking at anything related to the Comey memos. So that would be, obviously, the memos themselves, and quite possibly these declarations describing the memos as written by FBI agent David Archie. Now, the FBI wants these declarations hidden. I mean, they do not want, they don't want the memos to be seen. They don't want the declarations describing the content of the memos to be seen. They want this thing to completely go away because of how Comey's going to look, how McCabe's going to look, how Strzok's going to look and already looking, possibly even Christopher Wray, the current head of the FBI. So it's a massive CYA effort going on at the Federal Bureau of Investigation to keep these memos out of sight. The Department of Justice doesn't want them to be made public because they are investigating the Comey memos. Now, if they are investigating and Huber is looking in to the Comey memos, and you know what? Maybe Whitaker let this slip. Maybe it was unintentional. Maybe not. Again, so much of this stuff is theater. And I think he was probably just comfortable in that environment, and he said what he said. But the point being, if they're examining James Comey's memos and anything related to those memos, then that means that James Comey is under investigation. Because we're not just going to investigate those memos unless we have a reason to be investigating James Comey. And that's what looks like what's going on. Now, this thing gets kind of weedy at this point, and I've got some other things I want to talk about. I don't want to get too tied up in this. But the point is, John Ratcliffe, the Democrats are going to make noise, and the deep staters and the Hydra people are not going to want John Ratcliffe as the Office of Director of National Intelligence. But I don't think there's any legitimate reason to keep him out of there, so he's going to be moving to that position in all likelihood. And he's going to be working closely with William Barr to see just exactly where the wrongdoing in this investigation took place. Why, again, then they go back to the predication. What was the reason? Why was this investigation started? And again, somewhere, someone had to give this thing the green light. These things with the Mueller memos and the backstory of the emails between Peter Strzok and old girl, Lisa Page. You know, all this stuff's backstories. They're tributaries running into this greater river, this greater body. And ultimately, only one guy can say, yeah, let's keep working with this, or no, shut this thing down. Only one. It wasn't Joe Biden. No. It wasn't Hillary Clinton. It wasn't Loretta Lynch. It wasn't Eric Holder. It wasn't James Clapper. It wasn't John Yukami S.O.B. Brennan. I hate that guy. God, I hate that guy. And that ultimately is where all these, like I said, these smaller tributaries that run into this larger river of misdeed, of treason, and it's all going to flow back to the door of Barack Obama. No other place it can go. No other place it can go. Last week, the president called out the squad and everybody lost their minds. But what he did in calling out the squad is he forced the Democrats to defend anti-Semitism. to defend racism, to defend anti-Americanism, which is what these four chicks are. That's why they were able to be elected on the Democrats' side. And in calling them out on their anti-Semitism and their anti-Americanism and their own racism, the Democrats circle the wagon around these four hags, and they do. They defend the anti-Semite, they defend the racist, they defend the anti-American. They just did. And in the meantime, they call the president a racist. Well, after putting up and listening to a lot of foolishness from Elijah Cummings concerning what's going on at the border, and now he's constantly berated the president and the Border Service people, the president struck back at him and said, hey, you know what? Let's go take a good look at your district, Congressman, in Baltimore. Let's just see, you know, how great you run things. And immediately, the president's racist. It's the worst district in Baltimore. It's the worst district maybe on earth. And so the president is racist. And then Al Sharpton got into the act. And a few years back, Al had a television show. Let me see if I've got that set up here. He was not. Oh, it was terrible. I mean, he finally got some chops and figured it out, but oh. And the Washington Free Beacon, I hope I've got it. I'm scrolling through now. Yes, I have it. The Washington Free Beacon did a couple of clips, and they're called Al versus the Teleprompter. And these are examples of the brilliance, the articulation, and elocution of an outstanding pioneer in television journalism, Al Sharpton.
But resist, we much. We must.
They're all jitty about a shutdown. The Tortis in the race, then co-author of Hubris, U2 lead singer Bono, Fran Drescher, Sigourney Weaver, suspect Jahar Sanaev, Rush Limbaugh. Rush Limbaugh, Rush Limbaugh, the show Rush Lombard hosts Supreme Court Justice Sonia Sotomayor. Is Mike Muckery yesterday, Antonine Scalia. Kim Kardashian and the Republican candidates, for Cairo and Benghazi. We rank behind La Vita. First stop, Kazakhstan, to college students in Beijing. He's getting lunch at Chick-fil-A in Iowa. Bain is appropriate. The GOP's tax day giveaway to millionaires. Why was traffic problems email sent? The Environmental Projection Agency and what sequestration has done. And we will much about that be committed. So there's no real conflict. Michael Druniak, including Lincoln himself, Daniel Days Lewis. Behind Monica Lewinsky, the one and only Trey Song is here. But Allison Lundgren Grimes, Gina DeJesus. When Gina DeJesus, Tea Party challenger Matt Bivens. People don't want to have their Social Security overall. The Republican savior, Mark Rubio's big night in evolution. And Galileo, I mean this whole thing of Galileo. America's
Galileo
changed. Unless IT and skillets, President Putin doing something similar back in, it won't change this fundamental fact about the GOP just how absurd these attacks is. Nearly 6 months after the dangerous traffic jam allegation, the Thai military says, my friend for many years, Yana Van Zandt.
Oh, my God. That's easy for you to say. The Environmental Projection Agency. Oh, God. And that's the guy that's, you know, and this is the dude that stands up to bark back at the president. And the president smacked him down just as easily as he did Cummings. And from there, we can go, and this is no joke. I looked this up. Oh, by the way, tonight, debates will be taking place. Basically, proof of all statements made during the debates tonight. With the Democrat primary debates in full swing, many fact-checking websites preparing to review candidate statements for accuracy. Thankfully, Snopes, the most unbiased fact-checking website ever, has found a way to expedite their evaluation process. Since their original founding in 1957 by the KGB, Snopes has gained a reputation for objectively reporting what someone's secret motivations probably were and what they probably really meant when they said something. More recently, they have perfected the art of determining whether a satirical article is hilarious, left-leaning comedy, or divisive, conservative-leaning fake news. As part of their ongoing goal of being able to rush to judgment as quickly as possible, Snopes published a pre-approval of all future statements made by candidates during the Democrat debates. While we understand there may be some disagreements among progressive candidates on certain issues, we know that no one who shares our worldview would ever say anything factually untrue. Snopes also clarified that in the event a candidate does say anything that sounds untrue slash conservative, they will automatically conclude that the individual had pure intentions and meant something completely different. And as a very last resort, they may change a particular rating to mixed, assuming some context was missing. At this publishing of this article that I'm reading to you here, Snopes had also released a fact check for all future statements by President Trump, rating them all as false. So, I guess that's a bit of a spoiler for the debates tonight. But these people, all these cities, that are run down, Detroit, Chicago, Philly, New York, Los Angeles, Baltimore, all these places run by Democrats. Every single one of them. It has gotten so bad in San Francisco, Nancy Pelosi's district. Now the last thing that I did there was Snopes. That was a joke. But I found this story in the San Francisco Chronicle. The public pooping in San Francisco has become so bad. Last year, we're going to go back to last year. The city had, in 1 week, during the month of July, 16,000 feces complaints. Feces complaint? Yeah. 911, what's your emergency? Yeah, it's not an emergency, but there's some homeless guy, and he's out here taking a crap on the sidewalk in front of my restaurant. Okay, thanks. It was so bad, the poop in San Francisco, public pooping, just if you got to poop, you can poop, man. Don't have to worry about going to a bathroom. Nobody's going to say anything to you. You're not going to get in trouble for it. You poop wherever you want, all over the streets of San Francisco. No joke. It got to the point that they had to establish a poop patrol. No, I'm not making it up. I'm not making it up. Google San Francisco poop patrol. You'll find a million links taking you right to it. Now, San Francisco is a pretty decent-sized town. It's going to consist of five staffers and a supervisor putting on the environmental suits that are probably going to be issued from the Environmental Protection Agency. Oh, my God. And so they're going to put on their anti-poop suits. And there are areas that have been designated, and no, I'm not making this up either. There are areas that have been designated brown zones. And they're going to be looking for everything from hepatitis-laden Hershey squirts to worm-infested logs. And they're going to have a poop wagon. They got their own special poop mobile that has a steam cleaner and disinfectant rig on there. So I guess they find the poop, they scoop the poop, bag it up, whatever they do, and then they steam clean the remaining poop residue, and then they disinfect the poop area. I'm guessing that's how it's going to work. It'll be an afternoon shift, and they will go ahead, and it's a preemptive attack on the poop. They'll spot and clean the piles of poop before the city can get complaints as a measure of being proactive. Five guys, six, counting the head cheese there, a six-man crew for the entire city of San Francisco, a six-man crew, and their poop busters bus will cost the city about $185,000 a year for each member of the crew. And then, you know, that's salaries and benefits. $184,678. $185,000. So tell me, Ed, what do you do for a living? I'm in waste management. Is that right? This is a Democrat-controlled city. Now, we single out Baltimore. And we single out Elijah Cummings because he's a political hack and a crook, and they've spent billions of dollars. There's been $1 billion in change dumped into Baltimore from going back into the days of Barack Obama. Now don't tell me that that money got used wisely. It doesn't look like that money got used at all for anything. His congressional district is so bad you can smell the rats. see if I can find that. The former mayor, she's no longer mayor now, was on a tour. She's on a tour going through the city, and they were in Lycoming.
About a year ago, city leaders identified some of the city's most violent neighborhoods.
What the hell? We should just take all this down.
To target.
Ooh, you can smell the rats.
Under Baltimore's Violence Reduction Initiative.
Ooh, Jesus.
Just last week, we went with Mayor Pugh as she toured an East Baltimore neighborhood.
An East Baltimore neighborhood that's in Elijah Cummings' district. Right, you heard what, you can smell the rats. Carol Pugh's a black woman. She's no longer mayor. She got embroiled in her own scandal, and she beat feet. She's out of there. But Carol Pugh talked about the horrible conditions in Elijah Cummings' district. Bernie Sanders compared it to North Korea. This was a year ago. Not an eyelid was batted. Not a word was said. Donald Trump says, hey, Cummings, shut up and leave the Border Patrol people alone. Look at your own district and how crappy it is. And then everybody looks at the district and they see how crappy it is. And all of a sudden, Donald Trump's a racist. Absolutely ridiculous. You know what? I don't think we will go extra innings. After all, I believe that we're just going to go ahead and turn it loose as it is right here. We'll Wednesday, tomorrow, there's supposed to be, according to Sean Hannity and some of his sources and some of the folks over at Conservative Treehouse and Joe DeGeneva, Wednesday, tomorrow, is going to be a seminal day in the declassification of a lot of stuff that could be bringing a few things to light, and I have no doubt we'll probably be talking about it on Thursday. God bless you guys. Thanks for hanging with us. It's kind of a weedy, snap, crackle, pop kind of show tonight, but, you know, we get them like that. We're here Tuesdays and Thursdays, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, Blog Talk Radio through the Patriot Nation Radio Network. We have a recorded version of the show Sundays, 4 p.m., mojo50.com. You can check us out there. Thanks again for the opportunity to visit. We'll be back here on Thursday taking a look at things as we do through a conservative perspective. God bless you. God bless America.